Well, good morning. I think my voice and my throat would have been okay with not preaching this morning too, but God's just been really teaching me through studying what we're going to be talking about and hearing that that aspect of peace, that God is our Prince of Peace, Jesus Emmanuel, God with us. And I think of how the world sees peace and how peace, I can think of even in my circumstance, you know, peace is when I get to sleep in, or peace is when the neighbors aren't yelling outside, or the kids at the bus stop aren't fighting each other in the mornings, or what does that peace look like in your life? But the peace of this world is just a moment. It's just a breath, and then all of a sudden it's back again. Even if you think of just the turmoil in the world, peace in the Middle East, how many times do you hear that? But it doesn't last. The peace of this world, it's temporary. But the peace that God is, that Jesus is, Christ in us, that's eternal. And I got to thinking about that. Why is that peace eternal? And there might be a lot of reasons for that, but part of it, I think, for me is that peace is tied to hope, that we have an eternal hope, that we know what the future brings, and that this world might have turmoil and trouble, but take heart that Jesus has overcome the world, that we have that hope in him. So even while I was looking at the aspect of peace, and that Jesus is Prince of Peace, I thought even that the sickness that I'm fighting through here gave a picture of that, that the sickness is temporary, but I can still have the peace because I know that there's an end to it, that I know that things will be better in the future, and just that idea of that hope that we have. So let's just read a few verses here, and we'll be jumping around a little bit today. But we'll start in Isaiah 9, and it'll come up on the screen here. 9, 6, and 7. Getting a little nice blue hue on my head, I think, so I'll scoot a little this way. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. And I know Lance touched on this, but just that framework, you see that kind of rosy picture, that prophecy. Wow, Prince of Peace, that peace and his government's going to be forever. That sounds really good. And then you look at the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus. Just picture that. You know, the Prince of Peace being born, and it was anything but peaceful in this world's terms. That Mary, Jesus' mom, was a virgin, she was unmarried, and she's pregnant. And so Joseph decides to be nice and to graciously break that engagement. But, you know, if a guy notices that a woman is pregnant, their chances are pretty much everyone does. So everyone knows that this unmarried woman is pregnant. This does not look good. But God sends his messengers that they hear from God, no, this is of God, that this is my purpose and plan for you. So they continue on this stressful existence, that close to the due date when Jesus is almost to be born, they have to travel 80 or 90 miles by foot or by donkey. Either one's not going to be very nice to a pregnant woman. I can think of when we were having Lainey, there was a meeting that we had in Indy, and we were like, well, we're not going there because we could have our baby any day. You know, you want to be close to home when you're going to have your baby. But they had to travel over some hard terrain. And then when they get there, there's no room. You know, you're in the city, you're pregnant, and there's not even a room. But Jesus is coming, contractions commence. So room or no room, he's coming. And so he gets a manger for a cradle. And so here we have this unmarried couple with a son in a city for a census, which means that they're with a bunch of relatives there, that people that they know are going to be in the city and probably judging, just saying, judging relatives there and give birth to a son in a manger. So what a beautiful picture of peace, hope, joy, and love. Merry Christmas. Jesus is born today. But that's not what peace is, that the Prince of Peace did come to the world, that it wasn't peace like the world was expecting. It wasn't a king that would sit on a throne in Jerusalem and reign, but it is an everlasting peace. That even in those moments, I have to believe that Mary and Joseph had some semblance of peace, not an earthly peace, but they knew that they were doing what God had asked them. That even like what Bart shared, you know, the waiting process, that it's not pleasant, that you just want to have it done, and sometimes you wish that there was an easier way to do it, but that you remain faithful to what he's called you to. And so I think they had that peace to that. But we can have peace in the midst of turmoil. We can have God's peace that's an everlasting peace no matter what we face. So we've looked at that a little bit. I just want to touch on one verse that really jumped out to me. John 14:27, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." We'll touch on that a little bit, but God does not give us peace like the world. He does not give us just a small little drop of peace like sleeping in or peace and quiet or whatever that looks like to you. But that he gives you an abundance, that we can have peace. His peace is that peace that we get from salvation, that we are set apart for him, that he has paid the price, and that we have nothing to fear. You know, how much is fear the part of not having peace? And also just contentedness with whatever circumstance or lot is given. But peace is not like the world's peace. It's not safety. It's not prosperity. It's not harmony in this life that we have a deeper peace. So how are... we'll just touch on four things. How can you experience God's peace even in the midst of challenging times? Well, we touched on it a little bit, but the foundation of it is that man has been reconciled with God, that Christ has paid the price, that he died and rose again. Even Hark the Herald Angels Sing, I never really noticed that, but that God and man be reconciled. So we can have peace because we can be reconciled to him, that God and man can be at peace because he has paid the price. That transaction has been made, and God doesn't go back on his word. That the wages of sin, that selfishness, greed, anger, hatred, jealousy, whatever that might be, fill in the blank, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. That if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, that we will be saved. We can stand firm in that because he keeps his word and he paid our price. And that peace, it isn't just that one transaction, but it's peace for eternity because it just doesn't end there, or it doesn't just start and end on that day that you accept Jesus. That you have peace through eternity, because at one time, you know, we have the Holy Spirit, now we have God with us, Emmanuel, but we will see that fully when he comes again, that God will be with us forever. So here we know and experience in part, but there we will experience it fully. So the second way that we can have the peace of salvation in that transaction that Jesus paid the price for us. But we can also have peace because that Emmanuel, God lives within us, that Holy Spirit lives within us. He's our comforter, our counselor. He is that true Emmanuel, God with us, that we see in Isaiah 7. So let's look at that. Let me turn to John here. John 14, 26 and 27. It just touches on that we saw 27, but right before it, Jesus is preparing his disciples that he's going to be leaving, that he would die, but he would come again. And he said, no, this is really a good thing because the Holy Spirit's coming. So he says in 14:26, John 14:26, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. So not only does he give this peace, but it's almost like the Holy Spirit is peace. It's peace within us. He is giving us the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit will guide us. Have you ever experienced that the Holy Spirit gives you peace in a challenging circumstance? Or you hear something that it's just not you, and it's so comforting and so peaceful that it isn't you, that you know that you couldn't have conjured up or thought up of this answer. Just off the top of my head, I have two examples. I'll be driving along the road, and you see somebody broken down, and my head says, don't stop, it's going to be a creeper, you don't want to deal with these people, okay? You know, who knows what's going to go on. But God's a couple times said to me, no, stop. And I'm like, well, I know that's not me saying that because I don't want to stop. I just want to get home and be done. So I say, okay, I'll stop and I'll see what you want me to do. Or one thing that I've learned from my mother-in-law that it sounded so crazy to me at first, but it is so true that God cares for you no matter what it is, no matter how silly, no matter how big, how small. But I've learned from her that if you lose something, you just ask. You say, Jesus, show me where this thing is. I need you. I have no clue where this is. And so that's become a ritual for me because that runs in my family too, that we lose things all the time. But that He gives us peace because he cares for us no matter if it's small or big. Whatever we might face, he's living within us and he speaks to us. And he can lead us even finding a little thing, even if you forget your keys or forget this or that or whatever. Or if it's a bigger thing, if you have a hurt or a pain, he will speak to you. He will love on you. Oh, and isn't it so peaceful that Jesus has come. He has overcome. He has experienced everything that we've experienced and more. So we have that salvation. We have the Holy Spirit, but we also have that Jesus, that man, fully God and fully man, that came to earth, that suffered and died, but he also loved. He also wept. He also felt all of these emotions. He empathized with people. He loved them. He got angry at some people, but with a jealous, godlike anger. You know, he felt all of these emotions. He was accused. He was rejected. He was hated. But yet, he still loved, and he still carried out God's will and God's plan. Isn't that great to know that Jesus came? He isn't just some intangible being that we'll never see or hope or can only just imagine, that he was on the earth, that he was as one of us, that he felt these challenges. But in Deuteronomy 31:7, even in the Old Testament, they knew these things, that the Lord himself would go before you, that he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. That God, that Jesus, he's relatable to us. That he has experienced those things. and that he's ever present even now within our lives, that God with us, that Holy Spirit within us. And just like it's in John 16:33, it says, you're going to have trouble in this world, but take heart, I have overcome the world. That we can have that peace, that he has gone before us, that he is ahead of us, and he is with us now, that he is the same yesterday and forever. And finally, we can have peace because we can talk to God. That peace that we can get from prayer. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And if we ask God, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. That he says, talk to me. Tell me what's on your heart. And I will fill you with my peace and my presence. With the story of Jesus, you even see that with Mary and Joseph. It was a two-way communication, even with them. They said, no, how's this going to work, God? You know, I'm a virgin. How am I going to be pregnant, and how is this going to work? Or Joseph, he heard from God, and he listened, and he obeyed. That prayer is that pathway that we can talk with Jesus in our everyday life. And that we can see that peace because we know he is with us and that he is sharing with us right in that moment, that he is standing there with us. So in this world where we'll face many troubles, there will be long lines at Walmart for the presents, and there will be traffic jams on Coliseum. There will be all of these things that that you face, maybe turmoil and loss in your family. Maybe it's a hard time because you miss them and they're not going to be here on the holidays. But there is hope. There is peace because we can see them again. There is hope and there is peace because the presents aren't what Christmas is all about. That our true Prince of Peace desires our whole heart and desires to stand with us side by side and lead us. So in those last days, Jesus says, behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. So I challenge you, have you washed your robes? Do you know that cleansing, that freedom that we have, that the Prince of Peace came for you and for me? So maybe you haven't received that peace of salvation, or maybe you have something holding back that is holding you back, whether it's sin, whether it's just something that's really been on your mind that's distracting you. Give that to the Prince of Peace. See what he wants to give you in return. Or maybe you haven't ever asked him to reveal himself to you, that you wouldn't open yourself up to hear that voice or to feel that peace, to feel that depth of peace and love that he has for each one of us. So, to sum it up, is Jesus your Prince of Peace? So I just challenge you right now that where we are, we'll take a few minutes, but what's holding you back from the Prince of Peace? That we would offer it up to God, that you would give it all to him, and that you'd see what the Prince of Peace wants to give back to you. So Jesus, I pray that you would be our peace, that we wouldn't be distracted by things of this world. But we thank you that you are everlasting, that your peace knows no bounds, that you are here with us, that you are going before us, and that you've been here in the past. So Lord, we just give these things to you. Would you reign in our lives? Would you give us your peace? In this day, on Christmas Day, in the days to come, that we would know that full peace and that hope that we have in you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.